As we slowly begin to think about integrating back into society with the ease of many pandemic restrictions, the questions that have been on many of our minds is whether there is anything that we can take with us and how our behavior as we emerge from COVID-19 can reflect our behavior during COVID-19. I believe that these are two very important questions, and two stories in this week's Parsha can help provide a clue to answer these questions. At the end of this week's Parsha, Moshe comes off looking really good. But earlier in this week's Parsha, not so much. When Miriam speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe at the end of this week's Parsha, not only did Moshe not respond to her, not only is he silent, but he prays for her to be healed after she is afflicted with tsaras, with leprosy, for criticizing him. Moshe is a compassionate, dignified leader who is Ma'avir al-Midosav, who wipes away the hurt when he is slandered by his own family. It is a beautiful portrait of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it is so different than the portrait of Moshe Rabbeinu earlier in the Parsha. When the people crave meat, Moshe turns to God and complains that God placed this burden on him, and he cries out, Ha'anochi harises kol ha'am hazeh imanochi yelidetihu. Did I conceive these people? Did I give birth to them? Am I their parent? By the way, maybe the answer is yes. Moshe has taken on the role of provider for this nation by leading them out of Egypt and providing them for all their needs, with all their needs. Moshe tells God that if he continues requiring Moshe to lead the nation, then hargeni naharog, please kill me. Moshe asks God to end his misery. Now this is a very extreme reaction by Moshe Rabbeinu, certainly very different than the reaction when he was slandered by his own sister. Why is Moshe's reaction so markedly different in these two stories? Extreme frustration versus extreme compassion. I think there are two primary differences that account for this different reaction by Moshe. The first difference is the type of the infraction in each of these two stories. Perhaps Moshe believed that there was substance to Miriam's complaint. According to Sifrei Zuta, chapter 12, Moshe left his wife Tzipora because of Moshe's new spiritual status and his role as leader of the people. Maybe Moshe may have felt that Miriam had sincere intentions in criticizing him, so he prayed for her even when she was afflicted with tsaras. However, when Moshe was frustrated with the complaint of those who crave meat because there was no substance to their complaint. Initially, they were kimis onanim. They were as if complaining. Chazal, our sages, provide different suggestions as to the nature of their complaint. But the Torah does not explicitly state what their complaint was because they were simply individuals who just left Sinai with a negative attitude. And then, when they do verbalize their complaint, Moshe has no tolerance for his people. After receiving God's blueprint to a meaningful life at Sinai, all they can think about is meat. In frustration, he complains to God and asks him to end his suffering by killing him, because he thinks that everything that he has worked for in leading the people out of Egypt to become God's chosen nation is now for naught, which is such a painful feeling. I think, though, that there is a second crucial difference that accounts for the difference in Moshe's reaction in both of these stories. When the people complained for meat, Hashem conveyed two messages to Moshe. First, he will send meat. Second, Moshe should appoint elders to assist him. How should these elders assist Moshe? Rashi and other commentaries assert that these Zakenim, these elders, were the ones who bore the brunt of oppression in Egypt. When the Egyptian taskmasters beat the Bnei Yisrael for not working hard enough, these 70 people volunteered to be beaten on their behalf. These 70 individuals had the empathy needed to help the Bnei Yisrael, even those who craved meat. Does that mean that Moshe didn't have empathy? The Malbim suggests that Moshe simply could not relate to the people's mundane requests, because he was on a completely different spiritual level. The 70 elders were people who were not so spiritual. They were living more in the mundane world, and they would be able to relate to the people's more materialistic requests in an effective manner. but Moshe could not relate to them, and this led to frustration. However, when Miriam slandered Moshe, Moshe prayed for her because he cared for her, because she cared for him, and he knew it. When Moshe was a baby and was taken to the edge of the Nile River, Miriam watched over him, and this story just symbolizes the relationship between Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Indeed, the Midrash Tanchuma in Shemos in chapter 27 highlights the fact that throughout the Torah, siblings end up fighting with each other. Yet, when it came to the family of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, there was no fighting. When the Pasuk in Tehillim states, Hinei Matovu Manaim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad, how good and pleasant it is when siblings sit together, this refers to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. It's all about the relationship. The last story that the Torah records at a time when we were about to enter Eretz Yisrael before the sin of the spies demonstrates the importance of family relationships, how Moshe cared for Miriam even when she slandered him. This pandemic has been a time when so many of us have realized how important family is and how important family relationships are, especially at a time when we were often denied these relationships. This pandemic has been a time when many people discover new family rituals and routines. With all of the extra time at home, it became clear how important communication, respect, and compromise, among other things, can be. These family values must be taken out to the world and into our communities. This pandemic has also been a time when we have appreciated the broader value of relationships. This has been reflected by how we have been taking care of each other, how we miss socializing with each other, and how we stopped taking our friendships and our community members for granted. This pandemic has also been a time of kindness because we have felt connected to each other. It has been a time when we realize how important it is to reach out to those who don't have a family or who couldn't be with family during this time. As we slowly and safely emerge from this pandemic in stages and hope and pray that there is no second wave, let us be cognizant about the value of relationships during this stage. We must emerge from this pandemic in the same fashion as we were during this pandemic. In the country as a whole, the divisiveness in this country's response to the death of George Floyd unfortunately seems to have undone much of the feeling of we are all one that so many of us have experienced during the pandemic. Within our own communities, it is so important that we are not judgmental about how people are returning to normal life. Some want to still daven at home. Some will only daven with a minyan outside. Some will daven inside a shul. And what about day camp? How can you send your children to day camp? How can you not send your children to day camp? Why are you sending your children to daycare? They belong at home. It is important to respect how everyone feels, empathize with them and their feelings, and bring our Torah values to the broader world, which so desperately needs these values. Let us appreciate the difference in Moshe's response to those craving meat and his sister, and appreciate just how crucial relationship building is, not just in our families, but with our communities and the broader world. Have a wonderful Erev Shabbos.